Purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Oh, what a sorrow! What a great sorrow! More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name, could we please close that door over there? The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So these are very profound prayers. Actually written by an unknown Vaishnava. We have some prayers that are chanted in our Gaudiya Sampradaya whose authors were not known. But one can understand by seeing the content of these prayers that obviously the author is somebody who understood our Siddhanta, or our conclusive truths about the Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings, especially with respect to this prayer, which speaks about the holy name of the Lord. And this prayer, what is emphasized again and again in each verse, is that the holy name of the Lord is everything. How to draw such a conclusion, and especially these days, it's very difficult to accept or embrace a very all-encompassing conclusion that the holy name is everything in our lives, because certainly we can think of many other things which are important and relevant in our lives. To say that the holy name is everything is may sound a little bit idealistic or exaggeration. Nonetheless, for one who understands this truth and who has faith that ultimately the holy name is everything, because the holy name is non-different from Krishna. This is of course a very powerful, strong faith that one must have, that the holy name and Krishna are non-different. There are many verses in Shastra which support this statement. We can think of many, Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoisava Jagat Nistara. In the age of Kali, the Lord appears in His name. Anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly. And certainly he becomes delivered. So, if we can think of this and many other verses which support this conclusion, but to realize it, course, it takes some faith. And the progressive advancement in one's faith ultimately culminates in seeing how Krishna is personally present in his name. Krishna can invest his name with all of his potencies. Prabhupada used to give the very simple analogy that the name of a substance is different than the substance itself. If we're thirsty and we chant water, 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 it's a different experience chanting water, water, water and drinking water. Only once we can say it. And drinking water has a different experience than water, water, water. Because the name and the substance are different. But on the spiritual platform, the name of Krishna and Krishna, they are non-different. When one chants Krishna's name, for one who actually realizes Krishna, who's manifesting himself in these potencies, then they actually experience Krishna dancing on their tongue. There are different levels of faith in chanting of the holy name of the Lord. First level being Shraddha, which is to have some faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, I will be able to one day see Krishna fully manifest in his name. This, of course, this type of faith is also required. That faith is usually aroused by the association of a devotee who chants with firm faith. When one associates with devotees who experience the Lord's presence in his name, who experience some taste, just like here in this prayer it's described, it is more sweet than any other sweet thing, more auspicious than any other auspicious thing, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So in other words, first the verse describes that for one who actually experiences Krishna in his name, they experience Krishna, who is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. One of the names, Rama. Rama means the reservoir of pleasure. Whenever we're looking for pleasure, we're looking for some object in order to extract some pleasure from it. But the difficulty is the pleasures of this world, which are temporary, they have a beginning and an end. But one that actually comes in contact with Krishna, because Krishna is eternal, his name is eternal, his form is eternal, his pastimes are all eternal, his body is eternal, advaitam achutam ananim ananta rupam, as described in the Brahma Samhita. His body is non-dual, it's not subject to decay, it is the beginning of everything, it is beginningless, it is ananta rupam, it has no end. Krishna's body is eternal. So Krishna's body and Krishna, his name, they're non-different. So when one calls out the name Krishna, it is different than calling out water. Of course, to experience that, one actually has to have the realization. This requires faith. We've been speaking about the subject of faith. It's very important when speaking about the holy name of the Lord. Because as we said, there are different stages of chanting. There is the offensive stage, there is the clearing stage, and one is chanting with no offenses, and then there's the chanting of the stage of what's called Shuddhanam. Shuddhanam, Shuddha means pure. But one is chanting completely purely, those persons who actually chant without any material motivation, those persons whose hearts are freed from any other desire other than to please the Lord. Just like this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra it's a prayer. It's a prayer for service. One is actually petitioning the Lord, please allow me to engage in your service. When we think of prayer, sometimes we think of different things that we'd like to pray for. Certainly everybody has times when they're in need or desperate, when they're looking for some relief from distress, or they're looking for some economic gain, or Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of pious persons approach me. Is it those who are in distress, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. For these four types of persons will approach the Lord. But these four types of persons will approach the Lord, but generally it is understood that we see in these examples that they want something in return. A distressed person is looking for relief from distress. A person who is in need of money, we don't have to say what he's looking for. And a person who's inquisitive, he's looking for the answers to his inquiries. But Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanante Gyanavam Mamprapajante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadulava. One who actually knows me to be the cause of all causes and all it is, he surrenders to me, Samahatma Sadulava. One who knows, who's in knowledge, who knows Krishna as he is. What does he do? He surrenders to Krishna. Samahatma Sadulava. Such a great soul is very rare. So those who approach the Lord for something in return, they make some temporary connection with the Lord because they have some desire they want fulfilled. If the Lord fulfills their desire, and they think, well, I've gotten what I've approached the Lord for, and now I've finished, our business is finished. I can express gratitude here for Him, for what He has given to me. And then I don't have to call out helplessly anymore. I don't need anything from Him. I've gotten what I wanted. But one who actually is on a higher stage, he understands that, no, actually, what I want for myself won't fully satisfy myself. I've gotten something, but even if I get wealth, even if I get relief from distress, as we oftentimes see, that relief from distress doesn't last as long as we'd like it to last. This temporary relief from distress, you know, it's called chapala sukha, as by this Saint Govindadas describes in his prayer, chapala sukha labalagire. Sitayata Babata Bharishana Edina Jamani Jagare Vipala Sevano Kipala Dunajana Chapala Sukalabalagire. He describes this flickering happiness. Some flickering happiness gives us some temporary relief from distress. But then when that temporary relief from distress is finished with that flickering happiness, then again we're looking for relief again. So it's not lasting. That is the point. So someone who is on a higher stage, when he approaches the Lord, he's not looking for some temporary gain. He understands that the temporary gains that are obtainable even by the grace of the Lord, they're not actually the culmination, the ultimate purpose of life. The ultimate purpose goes far beyond simply the temporary relief of distress or the temporary gains of this world. He is praying for service. And the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually a prayer for direct service to the Lord. Why is he praying for that? Because the soul is eternal. Krishna states very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that Jayate Miyate Vagata Chin Nayam Bhutva Bhavata Bhanyabhoya Ajo Nitya Shashvatayam Purano Nahanyate Hanyamane Suraye. He says, for the soul is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He's unborn, undying, eternal, primeval, ever existing. The soul is not slain when the body is slain. So on the spiritual platform, the soul has an activity which goes beyond the temporary necessities of this body. Just like we oftentimes give the example, Srila Prabhupada uses the term quite frequently in his books. He talks about the necessities of life. Now, as soon as we think of necessities of life, generally what we think of is food, clothing, shelter. These are necessities of life, things that I need. But if we, for one who has a higher understanding about the nature of life, they know that these things are not necessity of life. These things are necessities for maintaining life in the body. But then life has its own necessity. Because life continues at the basic ABC of Bhagavad Gita. Dehi no smin yata dehi komaram jovaram jara. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. Dhira is tatra namuyati. One who's dhira, one who's self-realized, he's not bewildered by that change. Right? So, therefore life continues to exist after the body. So therefore when we say the necessities of life, one who actually has a higher understanding realizes that life has its own necessities. Not just those necessities which are necessary for maintaining life in the body. When the body is dead, life continues. So what is the necessity of life? Well, for one who understands that, he obtains the most valuable fruit or jewel. He understands that beyond this body, beyond the maintenance of the body that we work hard every day to do, as we said, we usually think about other things that are important in this life. The holy name of Sri Hari may be everything, but there are a lot of other things I have to think about besides the holy name. Generally, that's how life passes. And then we forget that the holy name of the Lord is everything. Well, the holy name is 25%. The holy name is when I have time for it. Sometimes it may come down to that. But there's a certain lacking of faith for one who understands that the holy name of the Lord is everything. He knows how to connect everything else that he has to do in his life to the holy name. He knows that the work that he has to do, the necessities of maintaining life in the body, and the other things that we have to do to maintain these bodies and the bodies of our family members, they're also connected, because to chant the holy name of the Lord, I need a tongue. I need a ear. Chanting is a means for purification. It cleanses the heart. It brings us to that point of realizing Krishna's presence in His name. Prabhupada gives the example. You put an iron rod in fire. You keep it in fire, the iron rod becomes hot, hotter, 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 red hot. It becomes just like fire by association with fire. Similarly, holy name of Lord Hari is everything. Krishna is supremely pure. When one associates with the holy name of the Lord, one becomes purified. What happens? He begins to realize his identity separate from the physical body. So the more that one keeps contact with the holy name of the Lord, the more he gradually begins to realize that everything else that is done in this world can be connected to chanting Hare Krishna. I'm maintaining this body, I'm working to maintain this body. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, he says that if we do not perform the necessities of life to maintain the body, then the body will expire untimely. And if it expires untimely, before we've actually reached that stage of full realization of Krishna within His name, then what happens? We have to come back again. Therefore, to maintain life in the body is a necessity. If one utilizes his tongue for not speaking about subject matters which have no real connection to the holy name, or minimizing such topics, speaking only that which is necessary. That which is, of course, we oftentimes use the phrase, only that which is necessary. And generally, people get bewildered. What is the difference between that which is I need and that which I want? Right? Just like not only speaking that which is necessary, but even our possessions. Bhagavatam says, Yava Briyeta Jataram Tavat Svatam Hidehinam Arikam Yobi Manita Stastinam Dandam Arhati. One should aspire for as much wealth necessary to maintain body and soul together. One who aspires for more than this is considered to be a thief and deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. Well, hear that one and we begin to analyze. Well, we immediately start labeling everything that we have within our possession as a necessity. Yeah, I would be in anxiety if I didn't have it. Therefore, it's a necessity. But actually we don't realize that it's usually creating more anxiety to maintain it than it was to obtain it. Because once you have it, then there's so much anxiety. How to maintain it? How to take care of it? There's a hurricane coming. How to protect it? The stock markets are crashing. I have to check what's happening on the markets today. I have to secure my investments. Right? It's so much anxiety is there. But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the same analogy about securing one's investments with respect to faith in the holy name of the Lord. It's just as a person has a certain amount of money or a certain amount of property that he wants to invest for to getting something in the future. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used the analogy about faith. He says, in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord, there is one currency. And that one currency that is used in the marketplace is faith. With faith, you can invest and get more faith. The commodity that everybody wants to actually obtain in this marketplace of the holy name of the Lord is absolute, complete faith. Just like in the money market, or just like in the world, you know, anybody who has some money and has some capital investment, he invests his money and he wants to get good returns. He wants to get a good return for his investment. So he associates with different people who give him good recommendations how to make a solid investment so you can get some money in return. He seeks out people who can help him get a good investment, or sometimes people, they have their little clubs or organizations, they come together and they talk about how to increase their wealth. In this world, the real commodity is simply how to increase money. Prabhupada used to say, you know, money, 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 sweeter than honey. When he would speak about how a person is, you know, is so much addicted simply for the accumulation of wealth, and thinking that the greater wealth, the greater wealth that he has, the greater happiness he has. But, you know, unfortunately, it's not always the case. Anyways, we won't analyze that too deeply. But the point that we're making is simply drawing an analogy. It's a very relevant analogy that most people can relate to, about having some money and investing to get more money. In the marketplace of the Holy Name, anyone who has a little faith can invest it for getting a greater commodity. And what is the greater commodity? If you have a little faith, invest it in the Holy Name. And invest it in somebody who has greater faith in chanting the Holy Name. When you invest your faith in somebody who has greater faith, the result is they inspire greater faith in your heart about the true value of the Holy Name of the Lord. And one begins to realize that it is really a necessity of life. It is not only a necessity of maintaining life within this body, but actually it goes beyond that. It is a necessity of life beyond this body. Because anyone who realizes, Krishna says, Anta Kali Chamamiva Smaran Mukha Kalevaram, whoever remembers me at the time of giving up his body, he once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So to remember Krishna and to remember Krishna's name, they're non-different. How kind Krishna is in the age of Kali. He's made himself so easily accessible by his name. It is very difficult to remember Krishna's pastimes. It's very difficult to remember Krishna's form. But anyone, at any time, in any place, under any circumstance, not just in times of distress, whether in happiness or distress, Bolo Hari Bolo, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, Maniya Ranandabai, he calls out, my friends, please, Bolo Hari, just chant the names of Lord Hari. Whether you're living in the forest or living in the city, whether in your happiness, whether in distress, whether you're a householder or a renunciate, doesn't make any difference. Just chant the names of Hari, Bolo Hari Bolo. So one who actually realizes this, whether in happiness and distress, and he realizes, gradually he begins to realize Krishna is present in his name. And he makes himself so accessible by his name. And then the result is that one gets greater faith in the holy name of the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He reciprocates. He says in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reciprocate, I reward them accordingly. When we take shelter, when we invest our faith in chanting, the result is we get more faith and we want to chant more, because we begin to see how Krishna is intervening in our lives so kindly in his name. We don't have the eyes to see him. We have the ears by which we can hear him. We have the tongue by which we can vibrate. And gradually what happens? By continuously chanting the names of the Lord, then the Lord begins to manifest himself to that person whose faith increases more and more. And he begins to realize that there's more that one has to do after the demise of this body. Not that he has to do. That is his nature, his constitutional nature to do, and that is to serve Krishna. This, therefore, when a devotee is praying, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service, he's not praying for anything temporary in this world. He's praying for that which Krishna is very much inclined to give us. But man proposes, God disposes. He gives us what we want. We have to prove that that's what we want. Therefore, we have to every day take time to call out Krishna's name. He's in our hearts. He knows when we're calling out to Him. We may not be able to call out incessantly all day long like Haridas Thakur. He would sit and chant 3 lakhs Hare Krishna mantra every day. 3 lakhs is 192 rounds at times around the beads. And normally it's a chant 16 rounds takes 2 hours. If we were to calculate that, it takes about, what, 20 hours? How is it? What is it, 3 lakhs? I forget. 22 hours. Right? He would chant. Raghunath Das Thakur, Goswami, he would also chant like this. He would take 1.5 hours a day only for the necessities of life, or body, necessities for maintaining life in the body. 1.5, that was his eating, his sleeping, anything else he had to do. That was, and the rest of the time he was just absorbed in chanting the names of the Lord, absorbed in bhajan. And sometimes he would even forget. He would forget to deal with these so-called necessities, because he realized the complete necessity is there within Krishna's name. Krishna maintains his devotee for those who have faith. So it requires great faith to realize how the holy name of Sri Hari is everything. But that faith grows by hearing. Right? It states in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one has to learn about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There is no other way to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. Therefore, we have to at least hear, so we have the proper conception of the holy name, and we chant with some faith. We don't consider it as it's described here. Oh, what a sorrow. What a great sorrow. More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. Right? The Vaishnava who has written these prayers, he's lamenting. The people have forgotten this jewel. Such a great sorrow. There's a story I'd like to tell in this connection, but it's enough time. We have to end by 6 o'clock, Artik, Hare Gopi Bhava. But this story, it tells us if one doesn't have the proper understanding of the holy name of the Lord. It's a story about the disciple who wanted to receive confidential instructions from his spiritual master. And he approached his guru and asked him, please reveal to me the most confidential teachings. The spiritual master, understanding the heart of the disciple, agreed to give confidential teachings to his disciple, and he began to instruct him about the glories of the holy name of the Lord, and gave him this prayer, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the disciple heard these instructions from his spiritual master, he was feeling inspired and enlivened within his heart, and he was feeling to some degree a little proud, because he felt he had something very confidential. Right? I've got something very confidential. So after receiving these instructions from his spiritual master, he left the ashram. And while he was walking along the path, he came across some washerwomen who were washing clothes. Simple village women, beating the clothes on stone. You know how they do this. And while they were washing clothes, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They were chanting Hare Krishna and singing. And the disciple was thinking, what's this? I thought I got something confidential. Somebody else is chanting too. So he didn't think that much of it. But he continued to walk, and he saw some fishermen. And the fishermen were hauling in nets. And while they were hauling in the nets, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he, what is it? Started to become a little bit more bewildered, thinking, I thought I received something very confidential from my spiritual master. But how is it these simple village women are chanting, these fishermen are chanting, and then lo and behold, as he continues to walk, he sees some young boys playing, and they're chanting Hare Krishna too. And by that time, he was convinced, I have to go back and I need some instructions. I need to find out. I thought I asked for something very confidential. So he went back to the spiritual master, and the spiritual and he explained everything that he had seen to his spiritual master. And the spiritual master, instead of instructing him, he decided that he would try to teach him. And he gave him a very valuable jewel, a very valuable stone. He said, just simply take this stone and go and you show this to everyone and see if you can get something of equal value in return for this stone. He explained, this is an extremely valuable stone. It's so valuable. And he began, but he said, just see if you can get something of equal value. So he went back to the village women and showed them the stone. The village women didn't recognize it. Simple village women, they didn't recognize its value, and they took the stone and they started beating their cloth with it. And Nagan understood he wasn't going to get much there. They already had what they needed to beat their cloth. So he took the stone back, and then he went back to the fishermen and showed the fishermen the stone. And the fishermen looked at it and said, well, we can use it as a weight for our nets. So they also could not appreciate its value. When they went to the boys, they were thinking they would play with it as a ball. So none of them appreciated the value of the stone. And when he returned to the spiritual master, so the spiritual master asked him, so he said, did you get something of equal value in return for the stone? He said, nobody could appreciate its value. He said, similarly, many people will chant Hare Krishna, but they'll remain indifferent. They don't understand its real value. So he decided to instruct his disciple in this way. He said that actually, and until one hears, and the more one hears the greatness of the holy names of the Lord, the more one hears the glories of the holy name, its value, its real value, the more we can appreciate the true value of the holy name of the Lord. And he chants with faith, with sincerity. The holy name will act. Even a faithless person can become faithful by chanting the holy name of the Lord. But he has to receive it and hear it from the lips of a devotee of the Lord. That's what gives him faith. Therefore, we have to invest our faith, whatever little faith that we may have, to hear more and more about the glories of the holy name and to receive the holy name of the Lord from those who have greater faith. Then we get faith. Yes, I can include chanting Hare Krishna in my life. I can dedicate a little bit more time for chanting Hare Krishna. I can appreciate its value, especially when my mind is haunted by all kinds of stress. These days everybody's running for the Prozac or for whatever else that's on the shelf or in the doctor's office. But actually, chanting Hare Krishna is a means for deliverance. Mantra delivers the mind from distress. But one who has faith, he gets one result. One who has no faith gets a different result. Therefore, it is required, it is essential, that one has to cultivate faith and take up this chanting every day. Then, gradually one will begin to appreciate and to realize how much nectar there is in his two syllables, Krishna. Therefore, it is our humble recommendation to all of you who have this prayer, please take it with you. Read it whenever you have a desire to read it. And maybe you can remember a few things that we've spoken about in relationship to the holy name tonight. And whenever you have a desire, please chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.